It is time for Sports Lit 101, our weekly opportunity to talk about great books, often with a connection to sports, usually a connection to sports, but also a connection to life and the world around us here. And this week, Bruce, very interested to hear your thoughts on a book you've been quite impressed with called Hockey, A Global History.
Yeah, this is a book written by two men, Stephen Hardy, who's been on the show, who had a piece in the Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles book we talked about so much last year, and Andrew C. Holman, whose book, a book he edited called Canada's Game, I talked about before. Now, both of these guys are longtime legit scholars of the game of hockey and of sports history. These are not fans that decided they'd write a book together about the history of hockey. I'm sure that I know they are hockey fans. Hardy's been a coach. He's taken teams to play across the pond. He coached my alma mater a couple of years after I left. And he was a longtime professor at the University of New Hampshire. We may not root for the Wildcats, but he got to see a lot of good hockey when he was there. Andrew Holman teaches down at Bridgewater State. I haven't been able to find any other book that ever attempted to do what they have done. Hockey belongs in many ways to Canada. Yes, it's Canada's game. It wouldn't exist the way it does in Europe if it hadn't gone there as an export, mostly first to Britain with Canadians who went over there during World War I or were born in the United Kingdom and moved back. But there's so much more to the roots of hockey. It has its roots in many, many places. And no one has ever attempted to sort of locate all those and put them in perspective. And Hardy and Holman have done just an insanely good job at doing that. Hockey in Canada, they've argued for years, where did it begin? Who started it? Blah, blah, blah. That's not really important in the long run because what we know as hockey grows out of what were the Montreal rules, which were codified in the early 20th century. And at the time, there were originally seven players on the ice, and you couldn't pass the puck forward. You had to pass it sideways in the zone. It was a more individual game. It evolved from that, but it also evolved from a game called bandy, which could have as many as 50 or 100 players on a side, resembled field hockey played on ice with a ball or a stone or a piece of wood, depending where it was. Again, it was very popular in the Scandinavian countries and in the Soviet Union. And hockey also has roots with lacrosse among the First Nations people of Canada. It began somewhere probably in Eastern hockey, in Eastern Canada, but there's somewhere that will swear the first game was in Saskatchewan. All that's researched. The history of every hockey league that ever existed is researched. The way that white men sort of dominated the game, how it was a game originally for the elite, how competing interests changed the game. All that's there, but what's remarkable about this book, more than anything else, is that it's so compellingly written on a subject that could become incredibly dry. Now, are there notes? Oh, there are somewhere along the line of almost 150 pages of end notes. there are notes given throughout. The book is in four parts that go basically chronologically. But what I think is really interesting, if you're a fan of sports history, is to watch how sport is affected by business. We've talked so often how George Preston Marshall changed the NFL because he was a showman. He was a bigot, a racist, a personal creep, I think. But his desire to make sports spectacle changed it. And hockey changed with a kind of capitalist commercialism that's really never been explained as well before in anything I've read as in this book. Another really interesting facet to this is how the development of artificial ice was absolutely key to the success of hockey, and how in places like Finland, it wasn't really till the 70s that these places existed, the 1970s. Mm. But how originally it was figure skating and just pleasure skating and hanging out was a far more important part of the business, and rinks came and rinks went, and leagues came and leagues went, and people fought over what's an amateur and what's not. But it sort of boils, at some point, it boils down to three kinds of hockey: Canadian hockey, U.S. hockey, and European hockey. Those become the three strains. Canadian hockey is considered brutal because it has body checking. European hockey is considered by many of us to be sort of dirty because of all the stick work. They would like to say that's more gentlemanly because people aren't flattening anybody. And college and American hockey grew out of the desire to make college hockey good, and to have that amateur ideal, the Hobey Bakers of the world, who would go on maybe to play in some kind of semi-pro league when they left. But that hockey was a way for colleges to have a great wintertime activity. Now, the birth of hockey in New England, really the stronghold is St. Paul's School in New Hampshire and Greater Boston. But there was hockey going on in places as far south as Washington, D.C., once there was artificial ice or for brief periods of time. And the rules eventually evolved to make it a more open game. You know, in my lifetime, the red line got eliminated in terms of for passing. But there was a time when you could not pass over your own blue line. You had to carry the puck over your own blue line. As it became a bigger, faster, stronger game, the healthier people who hadn't suffered through two world wars, the Canadians and Americans dominated. Because as we know, when the doughboys arrived in France in World War I, the first thing the people noticed was how big they were, how healthy they were, how well fed they were, because they were all you know, on short rations, to say the least. So you get a far more in-depth look at the origins of hockey. You certainly see how the three strands of it evolve. You see how the Canadian model provide the coaches that start most of the European leagues. But then you learn about and fascinating to me how the Russians sort of painstakingly waited till they were ready, how they sort of, when they would lose early on, they'd say, well, they're better than we are, but we're going to be better. How they really influenced the way Eastern European nations that were behind the old Iron Curtain were able to develop or not to develop. And it really ties all that into the business of sport. I don't know how many years it took these guys to write this, but it's an incredible accomplishment.
Hockey, a global history. And we'll catch up with at least one of the authors down the road.
Yeah, both of them want to be on with us, and I'll be working that out in the next little bit. Next week, we have Tyler Hellard from Searching for Terry Punchout on with us. And then after that, we're going to switch to basketball and tennis for a while because we've done a lot of hockey. Not that you can have too much hockey,
no,
but
no.
Anyway, so yeah, it's an amazing book from the University of Illinois Press.
Great. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.